I mentioned last night that we're just remembering our founder, our brother Hans Waldfogel. And I just have a little article here I'd like us to read tonight. And it's something that he wrote, and I think it kind of gives us an idea of what God had in mind for our coming together in our meetings and what God intended to do. And so we'll just pass these around. Hallelujah. And the reason I give these out is so that you can take them. Take them with you. Just pass the recording up for you. And you can refer to it. Hallelujah. While they're doing that, maybe I could just make the announcements. So the breakfast tomorrow is at 8 o'clock. Staff breakfast at? 7:30. Still 7:30? Okay, and the guest breakfast will be at 8 o'clock. The ministers will meet again at 7:30 in the prayer room, if you can make that. And also, just because I wanted to say thank you to all of you for being here, there is some York peppermint patties at the door. On your way out, okay, grab a York peppermint patty, take it with you. Don't go to the bathroom now and take a patty, all right? I'm going to watch, all right? But on your way out, you just take one and thank you. And if you can, you know if you're allowed to have it, all right? But praise God, I just really appreciate the fellowship we've enjoyed in these days. God has been present. And I think it's because of the unity that we have in the Spirit. You know, it says where brethren dwell together in unity, there God commands the blessing. And so I thank you, I appreciate the unity, and I pray that it will continue throughout this season. Amen. So as we did last night, you can just pick a paragraph that you'd like to read. All right, and what I failed to say last night is sometimes I tell the people when I do this, just now make believe you had a highlighter and highlight the thing that impresses you, right? And maybe you do have a highlighter, but just take a careful reading of this and see what God will say to us. The manifestation of his presence. Have you ever attended a real Pentecostal meeting? Whether you liked it or not, you realized it was different from any meeting you had ever seen before. That is what God wants to do in Pentecost, something different from what man has done, coming himself through the power of the Holy Spirit, manifesting heavenly glory and heavenly victories among his own. Someone else.
The reaction of people to their first Pentecostal meeting is not unlike the reaction of those who witnessed the outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Some said, "Oh, these men are drunk." Others said, "What does this mean?"
After attending my first Pentecostal meeting, I went home and searched the scriptures. As a result, I exclaimed, "Oh, what a fool I have been. Here it's been in the Bible all this time, and I, a Bible student, haven't seen it." As I continued to attend Pentecostal meetings, the things I saw and heard explained so much about the gifts of the Holy Spirit as mentioned in the New Testament, things I hadn't been able to understand before. So, if the first Pentecostal meeting you attend does not suit you, if you cannot understand it, do not say, "These people are all drunk," but, "What is this?" And search the scriptures for yourself to see if these things be so.
A real Pentecostal meeting is one where Jesus is allowed to manifest himself and to change us into his image as we behold him. But what you receive will depend largely upon your attitude. If you come with an open heart, you will experience the life-giving power of God. The way to come to any meeting is to bring Jesus with you. Everyone who practices the presence of God at home will find it very easy to do so in the meeting. But if you have not been doing so, the very first thing is to find Jesus in your own heart, to recognize him as a fountain of life within you. As you do this, you sink into worship. Nobody knows what worship is except a person filled with the Holy Spirit. It is a sweet fire within your soul which Jesus Christ has kindled.
Thank God.
It is the presence of Jesus, and it permeates your whole being with the fragrance of Christ. And when you have found him within, you will find him and see him in the meeting. That is an operation of the Holy Spirit which one cannot easily explain. You have to experience it yourself.
Sometimes when people come together, it is evident that they have been living carelessly. Perhaps they have been visiting or talking too much. They do not see the Lord right away. Then the Holy Spirit endeavors to call their attention to Jesus. A sweet call in tongues and interpretation might be given. Presently, there comes a change over the whole meeting. What has happened? Hearts have responded to the call. They have recognized Him and become abandoned to the Holy Spirit, which is absolutely essential to a real Pentecostal meeting.
There is the danger of becoming formal. One, two, three songs, then testimonies, then prayer, etc. How much more wonderful are the meetings where Jesus brings us to Himself and ministers His own life to us. That requires that we all function as members of one body. It isn't sufficient for one minister to do it all. Everybody ought to take part according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. There are many ways in which we can function. We can pray and bless the meeting. We can lift our hands in praise, or praise the Lord with a loud voice, or testify. The main thing is that we all function in the Holy Spirit, that we all are willing to be used of God, if He so indicates. But if you come to a meeting with the idea, I'm not going to do anything, others can do so much better than I, you rob yourself and the meeting of the blessing God desires to impart.
This is a good paragraph, the next one, so you want to read it.
Mm-hmm. In meetings that are free from the Holy Spirit, things may happen that are not just right according to your own discernment. Now, maybe your discernment is wrong. God does not give you discernment until you stop criticizing, until you are poor in spirit. Many times, the very thing that seems wrong to you is in the appointment of God. Mm-hmm. And it is only because of your critical nature that it seems wrong. Perhaps it is all right. But suppose something really is wrong. It does not become right by your criticism. It becomes right as you believe that Jesus Christ is in charge, that He is on the throne. The meeting comes right into line again if everyone keeps his mind on Jesus. That gives Jesus Christ the authority over the meeting.
I often see people frown when someone testifies a little too long. You should realize that that is wrong. You ought to say, "My God, I don't have the love that suffers long and is kind." Isn't that long, dry testimony a blessing? Where would you get patience otherwise? You are just as much out of the will of God with your impatient attitude as the other one. You ought to stay sweet even if the testimony is not in the will of God. That is not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to keep in touch with Jesus. He is there, just the same, and maybe when the testimony, or whatever it is, out of order is over, God will give you an anointing whereby you will be used to lift the meeting, so it will come back into line because you kept in touch with Jesus.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit uses imperfect vessels. If He did not, He will not use us at all. Is it not wonderful how the Lord Jesus bears with our imperfections? So we have to bear with the imperfections of others. Amen. We learn by our mistakes, and we learn our lessons. God prepares His vessels to use when and how He will. Do you come to a meeting to hear from God? Sometimes people say about a minister, he cannot preach. But sometimes you get the greatest blessing through the humblest vessel.
Churches are temples of the living God, and surely God ought to have charge of His own meetings. The success of a real Pentecostal meeting does not depend on the singing, the preaching, or anything other than the manifestation of the presence of Jesus. When He ministers, He parts in any way or by anyone He chooses. Then hungry souls are fed with the bread from heaven, which only He can.
Hallelujah.
The great struggle through the years has been over this issue. Shall Jesus have His way and be allowed to manifest Himself? Or will we have our programming way? Our job is to let Him have His way.
Do not fear. The Lord is on the job. We have a wonderful Savior who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. If you walk with him and fight with him, your reward will be great. God is waging a winning battle. His goal is that Jesus shall reign as King on this throne in our hearts and in our meetings. That is the reason he manifests his presence in our lives and meetings, to subdue all things unto himself.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if something blesses you from this, please share with us.
It seems that the Lord really cares about how we relate to each other, how we treat each other in our relationships. And I know when I see my children and when I see them playing nicely, it brings joy to my heart. And that's just a little picture, I think, of how our Heavenly Father looks down on us and wants us to be bearing with each other, right? Bear with one another, forbear. And we're encouraged that way because we can be unbearable, can't we? We're encouraged to bear with each other. We looked at Philippians this afternoon, and the book of Philippians touches on that subject quite a bit, if you think about it, about that grumbling and complaining and that kind of infighting. And Paul says that he wants his joy complete because of what Christ has done, that they will be of the same mind and having that unity. And he goes in there, in chapter 2, and speaks about that. And then, of course, the example is Christ that follows there. Have Christ as your example, who was humble. Well, if anyone had a right not to be humble, it would be the Son of God. Right? But he gave us the example of humility, and so we ought to show that humility to one another. I heard a professor walk through Philippians about 20 years ago or so online, and I forget all the points, but he had mentioned that if you want to remember Philippians, remember the word legs, L-E-G-S. Chapter 1, Christ is our life. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. Chapter 2, Christ is our example of this mind being you, which is also in Christ Jesus. You can maybe guess the other ones, right? Chapter 3, Christ is our goal. Press on towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. Right, then, chapter 4, I looked for this talk a number of times. I couldn't find it. And it bothers me because I don't know if it was Christ our strength or Christ our supply. But they go hand in hand, right? But we need all of that. We need that example. Right? We need his life. We need his strength and his supply in order to bear with each other and to forbear and to live in that unity. Paul goes on in Philippians, after he's given this teaching, you flip a few pages and he addresses a situation where there's two women who are not bearing with one another and are having a disagreement. I do feel bad at times for them. Their names are forever linked up with this disagreement. I trust they're able to resolve the issue. But then you look at that through Philippians, and you see that theme. We shouldn't be grumbling at each other. We shouldn't be fighting. If we have the love of Christ, we should be united with one another. We should be bearing with one another. And how does this tie into what we just read? It reminded me yet again when we read the portion about bearing with the imperfections of others, and how in the body what joy it gives our Father when he sees us relating to each other in a way that honors him. So I encourage you this season, especially at camp, to be united, to give grace, right, to each other.
Grace.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I was mentioning to someone today that in Romans 12 it talks about not thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. And then he talks about the different gifts that God has imparted to the different members of his body and how we need one another. And just dawned on me recently, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. We heard today that we should not think of ourselves as anyone important, particularly. And we ought to have a humble attitude about ourselves, and that certainly is right. But I think in this context, he's talking about don't think that you don't need the other members of the body. Don't think so highly of yourself to think that you don't need others in the body of Christ, that you have it all, that you can live the Christian life on your own, or that you can serve the Lord on your own. That attitude isn't good. Then you're thinking too highly of yourself. Nobody has it all. God has ordained that he could give you it all if he wanted to, but he chose not to. He left some for somebody else so that you would need them. So I began to look at that verse differently. And I began to realize I really need others in my life. Brother Mike was talking about how we as ministers, we need this fellowship. We need one another. We need to encourage one another. He was mentioning how this afternoon the comments that were made, they were also blessed, and they just went into his heart. And of course, everyone said something different and said it in a different way, but it was a blessing to all of us. And so, Brother Hans Wolfo in this article is talking about in a meeting. You know, it's not a one-man show. In some churches it is, right? The minister does everything. But I like the meetings where the Lord opens it up to others. As we read, that means that sometimes people are going to talk too long, like I'm probably doing right now. Or they'll say things that are a little strange. We get all of that in our church sometimes. Sometimes all in the same meeting. And I'm the only one talking to them. But if we stop that, and if we just, you know, we're very regimented, and the minister did it all, oh, we'd miss so much. And so, that's all. I mean, it's just such a blessing. I trust that God will keep that for us and make us to see how important that is. The way in which we conduct our meetings, we want to leave room for others to function. And it's so easy to, it's much easier to just, you know, have your song service, preach, collect the offering, make the announcement, pray and go home. But God has led us differently, and the meetings have been especially rich when people let God use them and where there's opportunity for that. And so I pray that God, that's what we've always loved about Pilgrim Camp. You know, we love to come up and hear the gardeners or Brother Edwin or whoever it was that was preaching. But boy, sometimes I got my greatest blessing by someone's testimony or someone's prayer or just the worship, you know. So may God keep that for us. By his grace.
Yes. I have to say something. In this paragraph, it says, in meetings that are free in the Holy Spirit, things may happen that are not just right according to your discernment. Now, maybe your discernment is wrong. God does not give you discernment until you stop criticizing, until you are poor in spirit. I just be able to tell a little something that happened in our church. We had a family, well, I shouldn't say a family. We had some young people that were invited by some friends to come into our youth meeting. And they came and they started attending it. And God began to work in their lives. I talked to them. I said, oh, it's so nice to have you here. I just kind of was talking to them. The one girl said to me, she said, you know, when I came to this church, I felt God's presence. I never had that experience before. I felt something. And then she told me, she said, and the parents told us that their young people started to read the Bible. They didn't have to tell them, read the Bible. And then another thing happened is they wanted to go to church. They told the parents, and usually teenagers, you know, sometimes say, come on, we're going to go to church. They don't always have that desire. And they didn't have that desire, but they started coming, and God touched them, and they got a desire to come to church. And the parents said, you know, I can see that. I don't know what's going on in your church, but it's affecting my children, and I see, or my youth, that they're really opening up to God, and they were real happy about that. So they decided they wanted to come to the church. Well, the wife, the mother of the youth came, and she liked it, but she didn't understand some things. And so Pastor Mike took some time and began to explain to her about the Holy Spirit, because she heard, you know, tongues, and she said, what is this? You know, I don't understand it. So he took the Word of God and he showed it where it was in the Bible and explained to her. She seemed open. And so her husband wanted to come to the Sunday morning service, so he came. But he came with a different outlook. He came with, I'm going to look to find out what's happening here, and I'm going to discern, and I'm going to find out what's going on. So he came with that in his heart, and he didn't understand about the Holy Spirit, so he came to the meeting, and he began to see some things he hadn't seen before, and he began to question, and he began to criticize, and he said, and Pastor Mike went to him and explained to him in the Word of God, took time with him, but he was different. The wife responded in the way, she was open-minded to it. He had it in his heart, I'm not so sure this is fully right. And he didn't understand, he didn't know. And so what he did is he pulled his whole family out of the church. He said, you know, we're not going to come here because I don't fully understand what's going on. And what's sad about what happened is the young people, the youth, lost that real hunger for God. There was a real change that took place in that whole family. And it all came by having not discernment. It was like this article says, a critical spirit. Came with trying to discern, but really was trying to find something and really didn't understand, didn't know what they were doing, and really hindered what God was doing and what would have happened for that whole family. Now, we've been praying for that family. Some of the youth had begun to come back. The parents haven't come back. They said, you know, some of their youth are of age, we'll let them make their own decision. I don't fully agree with that one either. Sorry. When John Gordon turned 18, Pastor Mike says, you're 18, but you're just a year older than 17.
A day older than 17.
That doesn't, in his book, that didn't matter. But I'm still going to speak into your life. You know, the world says these things, but we need to know what the Bible says. And I think it's so important. And when I read this and what I've seen, people make mistakes because they tried to figure it out in their own mind. They didn't understand, and they just ran from something that would have changed their life. Here, God was wanting to do something very powerful for this family to really help these youth at this time in their life, which was very critical, very important. And God was beginning to touch them and move in their lives, and it was hindered because of fear and from not understanding and getting self in the way. And sometimes the very thing that God's wanting to do, we can hinder it by having our own ideas. And he talks here about what we should have. We should be poor in spirit. Of course, this is referring to, for ministers, how not to criticize in the service, but to have discernment. And we could even be wrong, but we're to have
be poor in spirit. Really, to have real discernment is to really give up our own ideas, our own thoughts. And I've heard that prayer prayed here, and I've been praying that for myself. I keep praying it. Lord, give me your thoughts. Give me your words. Give me your desires. Live out your life within me. We sing that song about living out his life within us, how important that is. And some would say, well, where is that in the Bible? Well, John 15. Really, that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done. Really, when we pray for God's thoughts, his words, for the mind of Christ, it's right in the Word of God. And oh, how we need to be emptied of our own ideas and be praying for it. And if we'll pray, God will guide and lead. And so I just feel to say this to all of us. Be open-minded. If you don't understand something, don't run from it. Don't say, this is crazy, I don't get it. And just run from something that may change your whole life, not only your life, but your family and those around you. If you don't understand it, just say, okay, I don't fully understand this, but I'm going to still hang in there. I'm going to check this out. I'm going to give God a chance. And oh, hallelujah, I'm telling you, Jesus is wonderful.
Amen.
He touched my life, he changed me, and I'd never change it for anything in this world. You could give me all the things of this world, and I wouldn't exchange it for having Jesus in my life and having him dwell within. It's so wonderful. Oh, and it gets better every day. How can that happen? I'm a little older now than I was when I first, when I came here, in my 20s, I'm not 20 anymore, as you all know.
No.
But you know what? Jesus is more wonderful. It gets better all the time. And how does that work? Well, he's eternal, and he manifests his love. Oh, and he has a plan for all of us. And we just need to be given to him and let him have his way and just be simple. Say, Lord, here I am. Lord, come into my life. Jesus, if you're real, make yourself real to me. I want to know you. And God will do that for every one of us. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
The Holy Spirit uses imperfect vessels. That the paragraph spoke to me. I know it's really talking about bearing with the imperfections of others, but I'm thankful that the Lord bears with our imperfections, that he uses us even if we're not perfect. I think that's one of the barriers that Pentecostal people put up to the Lord, to the Lord having his way, is they feel like, Lord can't use me because I'm not perfect. And maybe someday when I'm perfect, then he can start using me.
Mm-hmm.
And so we sit like bumps on a log and don't let the Lord use us. But the Lord wants us to be encouraged by those words. The Lord uses imperfect vessels so he can use me. And I'm very thankful for that. And I was also very thankful earlier today to be numbered among the younger ministers. But you know, I thought it was also a connection with our younger ministers. Paul told Timothy not to let no one despise your youth. But I think that there's a temptation for us to despise our own youth. To feel like, oh, I'm not experienced enough or mature enough to for the Lord to use me this way or that way. But don't worry about that. Just let the Lord use you. I just want to encourage you in that way. If the Lord lays something on your heart, go ahead and do that. I know the older ministers here, they used to teach us that we should just be abandoned to the Lord, let him use us, and if something happens that's not quite perfect or doesn't quite come out the way we thought it should or somebody else thought it should, that's okay. Just go on. The Lord will show you how to do better next time. But the Lord wants us to be available to him, yielded to him. And so I'm encouraged tonight that the Lord can use every one of us. And also while I'm standing here, I just want to thank all of you for your prayers for us in Ridgewood. It's, of course, been an interesting 3 years of the Lord leading us on without our Pastor Eddie. We miss him very much, but the Lord has been so faithful.
Hallelujah.
The Lord has been so good to us. And even though we are imperfect vessels, the Lord has been using us, and the Lord has been blessing us. I just want to thank you for your prayers and for your faith for us. And this other paragraph here about the danger of a meeting becoming formal. You know, we all can fall into a rut in our meetings. And the Lord has been helping us. The Lord has been showing us. The Lord has been working. In Ridgewood, there are some of us who have sensed that the Lord is beginning to move in a new way. The clouds are beginning to gather, and we're looking for that outpouring of His blessing. Mercy drops around us are falling, and we're looking to the Lord for more. And the Lord has been so faithful, and it's been interesting how we can be in a meeting, and we might have some idea of what's going to happen next, and we kind of sometimes need to do that because we're not yielded enough, But the Lord has been working, and the Lord has been helping us, and coming to a meeting with a little bit less of an agenda, and letting the Lord have His way more, having more faith, and that's something that we're growing in by God's grace, and we're looking to the Lord to help us to do that more so that our meetings don't become too formal. And the Lord has been faithful. And just recently we had a service where the Lord began to pour out His Spirit. And it was something that took us a little bit by surprise, and we just had to learn to yield to and let the Lord have His way. And okay, I'm walking toward the pulpit, but I'm not going to say what I want to say right now. I'm going to wait and let the Lord have His way. And this might sound, very simple to those of you that have been ministering for years, but it's kind of a learning experience for us that are newer at this, And it's just been wonderful that the Lord has been so patient with us, and He's helping us along, and I want to do better. Yielding to Him, letting Him have His way, and we're believing for greater and greater things in our church and in all of your churches as well, that the Lord will indeed make us a Pentecostal people, that the Lord will indeed have His way in our meetings and pour out His Spirit in great ways.
Praise God.
Just to be clay in the potter's hand, ready to do what His word commands. Only to be what He wants me to be. Every moment of every day.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
The dad is encouraged that he's numbered with the younger ministers. I'm discouraged that there's no confusion anymore between the older and the younger, and I know which category I'm in.
Me too.
I was reading this, I thought of the song we have in our white book, Keep Your Eyes on God. The first verse, the first line of that song says, every Christian makes blunders and mistakes. Every Christian makes blunders and mistakes. That's why you have wives and children, at least in my case, and a lot of others. Some of us who are not numbered among the younger ministers, but the older ones, if we had a nickel, Brother John, for every blunder and mistake we made, we'd be rich men.
I'd be a billionaire.
Yes, and maybe we all would as we go on. But I'm glad that the Lord can take the imperfect vessels, and even the blunders and mistakes. You have that, and it's in the Bible. I mean, the guy with the axe head, and the salt, and there's death in the pot. And the blunders and the mistakes. But God has a way of even taking those. But you'll never make a mistake if you don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
maybe that's the biggest mistake we can make.
That's right.
We need to be available and useful in spite of the blunders and mistakes. And trust that the Lord is going to get His will done and have His way. And if I read this correctly, the most important people in the meeting are not the ones that bring the choruses or the songs, that is the choir. The most important ones in the meeting are not the preachers who preach the word. The most important ones in the meeting are those who bring Jesus.
Amen.
To that meeting. Remember my uncle, you have a choice of about a dozen different people, but I think it was my Uncle Edwin who said that he could tell when certain ones came into a meeting, he didn't have to open his eyes. He didn't have to look and see who came in the door. He could sense that Jesus came. And he knew it was because of that individual who brought Jesus Christ into that meeting. Those are the most important people in a Pentecostal meeting.
Amen.
It's not who's going to sing, who's leading this, who's preaching, who's doing, who cares? Jesus is. Jesus is. And if we come for the preacher or the choir or whatever else it might be that we come for, we've really missed the importance of a Pentecostal meeting. We're here for Jesus. We're here for Jesus to have his way with us, with you, and to bring the glory of God and the presence of God into that meeting. And that can come through you. You. I know you don't preach. I know you don't sing. And I don't know what you don't do, but what do you do? I bring Jesus to that meeting. Well, there's nothing more important that you could do than to bring Jesus to that meeting. To be a conduit of the presence and the blessing of God.
Thank God.
You can tell by this article, I guess, that you can't really describe a Pentecostal meeting. I don't know how I would describe it. What is it? What's a Pentecostal meeting? It's where Jesus has his way. Sure. It's where his presence is manifest. It's where he can get at the people in the meeting, in their hearts and in their lives. One lady years ago described to me, and she was in all seriousness, and I still don't know whether it was a compliment or not, but she said, these meetings are like organized chaos. I don't know. I guess that works for me. I don't know what really she meant. I have to construe that in more than one way. But they are kind of chaotic sometimes. Not just outlandish with what's going on, but there's a little bit from him and a little bit from that one, and here's one that's blundering and flubbing all over the place. And yet somehow or other, God pulls it all together. And it's organized at the same time as being a little of this and a little of that. God wants to have his way in the meeting, and he wants to bring Jesus to us. When I was, the first year I was in Ozone Park, which is a lot of years ago now, but I was with my Uncle Frank, Poston, and he was going to go to Europe for a little while. I don't know how many weeks it would be, and he was going to leave me alone on the platform, and that was a daunting thought, and probably not just for me, but for him also. So he said to me, Ernie, who would you like? Is there anyone that you would like? I could try to have somebody on the platform with you. And I was very serious when I gave my answer to my uncle. I said, Josie Scudo. Josie Scudo was, now this is going back, she was probably in her 70s. She wasn't a learned woman. She was a humble vessel. But boy, did she bring the glory of God to that meeting.
Hallelujah.
Any meeting. Hallelujah. That's the kind of people you want to sit next to.
Amen.
On the platform when you don't know what you're doing.
That's right.
And even when you do know what you're doing,
that's right.
The longer I go on, the more I know I don't know what I'm doing. But we need people like Josie Scudos, who can bring the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
Just by her shout.
Hallelujah.
I told you before at camp, the humblest maybe, I don't know, but the man, this man we used to have in our church, he wanted to be with the Lord. But he never had an education, never went to school. And I don't know if he could read or write, but he used to make a living by collecting cans. He walked through the neighborhood collecting cans, and he was different, to say the least. And there were reasons why he was like he was. But he loved Jesus.
Okay.
And every once in a while, God would come to him. His name is Bernard Heitman. I don't know if anybody here knows him or ever met him. But every once in a while, Brother Bernard, God's Spirit would come upon him, and he just began to groan and cry out, glory, glory, glory. And, you know, you can do that and nothing might happen. But when he cried out, glory, the glory came.
Thanks.
He brought Jesus. This man couldn't do anything else. He couldn't sing, he couldn't preach, he couldn't do anything. But he could bring the glory of God to a meeting.
Thank God.
And so could Josie Scudo. And I could go on and on and on and name person after person, past and present, of people who you wouldn't think could lead a meeting or direct a meeting, but God can. And if he can use that humble vessel and get that one, I'm thinking of a woman right now. I won't mention her name because many of you would know who she is, and I don't want to put her on there or embarrass her. But she got up in a meeting one time, went over to the piano. She could hardly play the piano, hardly play the piano. But she went to the piano and she just began to play, to sing. Simple song, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." Oh, how I love Jesus. She sang it an octave lower than you're supposed to sing it. She had it all backwards. But she brought the presence of Jesus to that meeting. You know, that's what Pentecost is. It's not, and I'm not, you know, don't do what you should do and what you can't do. And it's not just a foolishness on exhibition or whatever it might be. But it's God coming to the meeting through whoever he might want to use. And he could use anything. He could use anybody. He could use you. He could use me. And thank God that he can. And so our desire, I know at camp and at home too, is, Lord, it's your meeting. Now, Lord, do what you want to do. But to that end, everyone, young people, children, boys and girls, they've been such a blessing to us in Ozone Park. The children, the young people, when they minister, when they testify, when they lift their hands. Some of them, these kids, they just lift their hands. And to me, that's a great blessing, because you try to get some old people to lift their hands and praise the Lord, it ain't going to happen. But you got kids that are reaching out for the Lord and opening their hearts to Jesus. Oh, God can use the humblest, smallest, youngest of individuals, and he wants to. He wants to use you.
Yes, Lord.
And he wants to use people. He wants to use every one of us. And this idea of, oh, but, you know, I might make a mistake. God bless you. He can still use you.
Yes.
He can still use your mistake. He can somehow turn our mistakes and redound to the glory of God. Yes. He knows how to do that. He's God. He just wants our availability, and so we can yield our members as instruments. My hands are your instruments. My mouth is your instrument. My feet, my everything, Lord, I'm yours. You bought me, and now I used to yield these members as instruments of unrighteousness, but now they're yours, so help yourself to me and help me to do what you want me to do. Help me to be what you want me to be.
Yes,
ready to have you use me or not be used at all. But Lord, whatever you choose, to bring your presence, to bring your glory into that meeting. Let the temple be filled with his glory.
Yes.
And to that end, let everybody who comes into the church, into the place of worship, let every one of us be filled with his glory, and then his temple will be filled with his glory, and then we'll have a Pentecostal meeting.
Amen.
So I trust that God will continue to have his way throughout this summer here at camp and at home, wherever we are.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
We have a special song. Hallelujah.